ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Yeah, I remember early on, I was trying to clap to a song. My wife put her hand on mine and said, stop. But my parents put me in violin lessons when I was like fifth or sixth grade. So I'm a boy, fifth or sixth grade. And you know how you can tighten the strings? Well, tighter is better, right? Well, it reaches a point where, guess what? Snap, there goes the string. So I snapped the string. Here I am. I'm devastated now. My parents are literally going to kill me. I'm dead. Okay? Now, my parents weren't like that, but that's the fear in my mind. I couldn't sleep all night. All night. I finally had to tell my parents, and like, well, we'll have to get it fixed. I'm like, I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, you don't want to kill me? No, but look at what fear did. It paralyzed me. That's what it's doing with these men of Judah. And isn't it interesting? They tell Samson something I find fascinating. They say, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us? Who's ruling over these Jewish men in Judah? Not God. Wow. The Philistines are. Fear and sin have brought them into that situation. They didn't repent and get right with God. They let fear drive them to do something that they shouldn't have done. Instead of letting go of their sin and returning to God, what are they doing? They're surrendering to the enemy. It's amazing what fear can do, and it's amazing what faith can do. One paralyzes us, and one encourages us to go forward. Several generations ago, during one of the most turbulent of the desert wars in the Middle East, a spy was captured and sentenced to death by a general of the Persian army. And the general, a man of intelligence and compassion, had adopted a strange and unusual custom in such cases. He permitted the condemned person to make a choice. The prisoner could either face a firing squad or pass through the black door. As the moment of the execution drew near, the general ordered the spy to be brought before him for a short, final interview, the primary purpose of which was to receive the answer of the doomed man to the query, what shall it be, the firing squad or the black door? Obviously not an easy decision, and the prisoner kind of hesitated, but he made known that he preferred the firing squad to the unknown horrors that might await him behind the mysterious door. Well, not long after, a volley of shots in the courtyard announced that the grim sentence had been fulfilled. And the general, staring at his boots, turned to his aide and said, you see how it is with men? They will always prefer the known to the unknown. It is characteristic of people to be afraid of the undefined. Yet I gave him his chance. What lies behind the black door? Asked the aide. Freedom, replied the general, and I have known only a few brave enough to take it. Wow. That's what I see here with the men of Judah. The known were the Philistine. As long as they played by their rules, they'd be okay. The unknown was God. And it wasn't because God was unknown. It wasn't because God didn't tell them that he would be with them and give them these victories. They didn't believe it. And they had turned from God. And now they had no one to help them except the enemy. Are we going to walk by faith or sight? I mean, that's an important question because the enemy will come against us, and yet we have the promises of God. But are we going to trust God? Are we going to put our trust in him or the world? In the enemy, you might say. Look at all that's going on today. Isn't it crazy? I mean, even in the Middle East, look at Sudan. Sudan is not going to work with Israel. Who would have thought that? Crazy. Look at the chaos in our country. And you shake your head. And we think, man, if President Trump doesn't get in, we're doomed. Did we forget about God? You see, that's something we have to remember. Do you think God's going up there and going, oh my gosh, look who just became president. I don't know what I'm going to do. He doesn't do that. Praise God for that. But we do. Instead, we should be saying, I wonder how God is going to work through this. I wonder what he wants me to do, what he wants you to do, whatever happens in these elections. Even if President Trump gets in, understand there's going to be chaos because that's exactly what they want. We're moving towards a one-world government, whether we like it or not. It's happening. And I'm not saying we, you know, roll over and play dead. But we're not here to save this nation. We're to save people out of this nation, out of the grasp of the devil. And you know what? That's how you save a nation. So we kind of get things backwards. We want to get the right person in office and we think everything's going to be okay when the majority of the people don't know God and they're fighting against them. So it doesn't matter. People need to get saved. And he'll give us the victory. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. How many of us know that Bible verse? And how many of us believe that Bible verse when we're in the midst of trouble? See, there's the key. There's the key. I'm not saying that things are going to be easy. God never said they would be easy. But he would give us victories in the battles that we face. And the problem is, but how is he going to do it? Does he always tell us? No. And does it always work out the way we want? I can honestly tell you, it doesn't always work out the way I want. But it always works out the way that he wants. And for these men of Judah, are they going to really give up Samson, one of their own? Well, as we read on, we're going to see that they are willing to give up Samson. Turn him over to the enemy, the Philistines, because like they told Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? Please, let us not say that. Let us say God rules in our lives. These men of Judah are so afraid of the Philistines, they would rather turn over one of their own than face the consequences of not obeying the Philistines. They're placing their support upon the Philistines instead of the one who was going to deliver them, Samson. He was their judge. I don't know if they knew it or not because of Samson's behavior. But boy, I can tell you, it is so easy to lose sight of what God is doing because of the difficult situations we're in. It absolutely is. As we look at the situation, as we see that there's no way out, are we willing to compromise what we believe and trust the enemy instead of God? I hope not. For these men of Judah, we don't see them praying, and we don't see them seeking God. They're succumbing to the enemy. They're giving in. We got to remember God is with us. And walk by faith. Keep our eyes on the Lord no matter what happens. You know, Paul in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony by faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. You know, faith is not some kind of force that we control to get what we want. Faith is only possible because of who our faith is placed upon. And that's Jesus. Paul says it's the substance, it's the supporting structure, a foundation. And our faith is what undergirds our hope in the things that God has promised us. Biblical faith, believe it or not, is not a blind leap into darkness. It's reasonable faith that builds upon many infallible proofs that will stand up as evidence in a court of law. I think that's important for us to understand. You know, Larry King, not a Christian, has interviewed a lot of Christians and really exposed their falseness. He's also interviewed a lot of Christians and saw them be a tremendous witness. But several years ago, in a television interview with Larry King, he describes three farmers who gather daily in a field during a horrible drought. And the men are down there, he said, on their knees. They're looking upward, praying. The skies are going to open up and pour forth much-needed rain. But the heavens were silent, and the petitioners became discouraged. They continued to meet every morning to lift up their request to God. And one morning, an uninvited stranger approaches and asks the men what they're doing. And they said, "Hey, we're praying for rain. We're in a drought. We're in trouble." Well, this newcomer looks at each of them, and he shakes his head. He goes, "I don't think so." Well, the first farmer says, "Of course we're praying. We are down on our knees pleading for rain. Look around. See the drought? We haven't had rain in more than a year." Well, the outsider continues to nod his head and advises them that their efforts are never going to work. Well, the second farmer jumps in and says, "We need the rain. We aren't asking only for ourselves, but for our families and livestock." Well, the man listens, nods, and says that he's still not impressed. He says, "You're wasting your time." Well, the third farmer can't take it anymore. And in anger, he says, "Okay, what would you do if you were in our shoes? What would you do?" And the visitor says, "You really want to know?" The three landowners answered, "We really want to know. The future of our farmlands is at stake." Well, this man says to them, "I would have brought an umbrella." Oh, there's faith. "But there's no rain clouds yet." "Well, what are you praying for? Rain. You better expect it, right?" Do we really believe that God is able to answer our prayers? Because if we do, then we're going to walk accordingly. Then we're going to walk by faith and trust in Him, even though we may not see the clouds appearing for rain. We know they are. Fear caused them to go to Samson, and they will eventually turn Samson over to the Philistines just because of fear. Now, how is Samson going to respond to this, right? How is he going to respond to them saying, "Hey, we want to turn you over"? Well, we don't have to guess, and we see how Samson responds. Our next point is eye for an eye. Look at the last part of verse 11 here in Judges chapter 15. "And he," Samson, "said to them, 'As they did to me, so I have done to them.'" Now you know why I called it an eye for an eye. Samson did what he did to the Philistines in retribution to what they did to him, killing his wife and father-in-law. He's pouring out his vengeance upon the Philistines, and not for the right reasons, as I've said before. Is there any mention of God here? No, it's just that Samson wants to get back at the Philistines. It says a story goes about a newspaper columnist, George Crane. He told this very tragic story of a wife who came into his office wanting to divorce her husband. And she said, "I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even before I divorce him. I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me." And if we're honest with ourselves, when someone does something to us, we don't want to only get even. We want to get better. We want to make them hurt even more. And we can use the excuse, "Well, an eye for an eye." It's biblical. It's in the scriptures. Please understand that whole idea is related to the courtroom. And if you stole something or injured someone, you would be accountable to what you did and not more or less. The command there in Exodus 21, again Leviticus 24, is related to civil justice and not personal revenge. And again, it's just God is preventing someone from being punished more than they should for a crime they committed. For us, it's not necessarily a crime that was committed to us. It's what someone has done to us, the wrong they've done. And we feel we have every right to pay them back, do we? Well, what do the scriptures say? Look at what Paul said in Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Notice how Paul starts out. We are not to repay evil for evil. That's what the natural man does, not with the spiritual man. And then Paul talks about living at peace with others, not confrontation. And basically, it's what we do on our part. Now, can they refuse our peace gesture? Of course they can. Of course they can. You live at peace as much as you are able. If they reject it, there's nothing you could do about it, but at least keep the door open in case they choose to change. We should not be responsible for the lack of peace. We should be peacemakers. And again, it's not always possible because others refuse it. Let's not get in the way. The scientist George Washington Carver said, I will never let another man ruin my life by making me hate him. And I don't know about you, I think things are heating up today. I think the devil is really working hard. But isn't it easy to hate people today? I see some of the commercials that are on TV. I'm like, that's a lie. It's like, come on, Joe. It's a commercial. Of course it's a lie. They're politicians. What do you expect? We got to be careful. We need to try and live at peace with people, to do all we can to be peacemakers. But it doesn't mean we justify their sin, not at all. But here's the thing. And I checked this out in the Greek. It doesn't say, vengeance is mine, says Joe. I would like it to say that. Because being Italian, I have people, okay? You've seen the movies, you know. I have people. But it doesn't say that. It says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Wow. That's a little bit different than what I would like. But you know what? God is gracious and merciful. And I look at all the grace and mercy he's poured out upon my life. And he says, okay, now you go pour that grace and mercy out on others. That is not natural. That's supernatural. That agape love, it's a supernatural love that we cannot manufacture. You think about it. You know, people can love people today. It's a brotherly love. It's a Philadelphia love. Brotherly type of love. But when someone crosses you, that brotherly love can change. The agape love doesn't change. It's unconditional love. They don't deserve it, but we extend it to them just as God has extended that love to us. And Paul says that we are to care for our enemies. And it'll be like heaping coals of fire on their heads. Yes, more coals of fire on their head. No, I don't think that's what he means. Yeah, there was an ancient Egyptian custom that when a person wanted to demonstrate a public repentance, he would carry a pan of burning coals on his head. And thus, by our doing good, it may cause them to see their evil and repent. Love them to death. Again, it's possible, but I don't think it flows out of what Paul has been speaking about. Because the focus is not on them. The focus is on us. How we care for them, right? So what does he mean? Well, keep in mind in Paul's day when a fire went out, you know, it wasn't easy to restart. You know, they didn't have a Bic lighter or whatever to restart their fires. So I think Paul's point is, you bring them coals of fire to rekindle their stove or whatever. You're blessing them. And that does flow with what Paul has been saying. Give them these coals of fire. Let them place it on their head so they can take it home and cook or whatever they need to do. And then he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, what the movers and shakers in our nation today want to do is for us to get so upset about all the things that are going on that we start responding with evil things, evil ways. Look at what we see the unsaved doing, the protests, the violence, the burning of buildings and all these things, because they're so upset. That should not be us as Christians. Not at all. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Leave it in God's hands. You pray for those people. Darby said, if a bad temper puts you in a bad temper, you have been overcome by evil. I really don't like that, but it's true. I know that. If someone's bad temper or bad behavior puts me in a bad way, I've been overcome by evil. Again, you look at all these things going on in our country, and there are a lot of angry people. Our joy is in the Lord. Does he ever change? No, he's unchanging. So that joy should remain a constant. It doesn't mean we agree with all the stuff that's going on or condone all the stuff that's going on, not at all. And I guess we can try to justify our anger, but who are we mad at? I'm so mad at the Democratic Party and how they're destroying our country. Okay. I'm so mad at Antifa and Black Lives Matter and how they're causing death and destruction in our country. Okay. I'm so mad at the LGBTQ and whatever other thing you want to put there and how they're destroying the lives of the people in our nation, especially our children. Yeah, okay, I see that. I'm so mad at these news, at the news media and how liberal they are and they don't report the news. They report what they want, even if it's not true. Absolutely, yeah. You know, I don't know why. You know, I'm watching the local news and then at 7 o'clock it changes over to Good Morning America, the station I'm watching. I don't know why I leave it on, but it's there playing in the background. And I hear the things that are going on, you know, the Trump and Biden things going on. And the thing that got me was that this news reporter is going, yeah, and, you know, the people I'm talking to, they voted for Trump in the previous election, but they're not voting for him now. And I'm thinking, really? Where are those people? Can you talk to them? I'd like to see those people. And I'm starting to get mad. Here's the thing. These are symptoms of the problem. And the problem is that these people have turned from God and God has given them over to these depraved things. That's the problem. Are they the enemy? Yeah, I guess they are. But can we pray for them? Absolutely we can. Can we love them? Absolutely we can. Can we reach out to them with the love of Christ so that they may come to saving faith in Jesus? Absolutely. Heaping coals of fire on their heads and bless them even though they don't deserve it? Absolutely. God has done that with us. And we don't deserve it, never did, and never will. God's going to judge the wicked. Like I said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Leave it in his hands and try and see, pray for people, witness to them, love them, and maybe they'll come to saving faith. I've shared this story about Abraham Lincoln before. He was a man who wanted peace. He wanted to heal wounds and forgive, you know, the South after the Civil War. And Massachusetts Congressman Thaddeus Stevens wanted to crush the South. But Thaddeus Stevens, when Abraham Lincoln said he wanted to forgive, put his fist down on the table and said, "Mr. Lincoln, I think enemies ought to be destroyed." Wow. Abraham Lincoln very quietly responded and said, "Mr. Stevens, don't I destroy my enemy when I have made him my friend?" Wow. Destroy the enemy with the love of God. Point them to Jesus and make them your friend, a child of God. I shared this a few months back, I think. A church down south was renting a school for their church services. And the school was very open, did it for years and years. And the pastor said something that offended someone within the church. I can't remember offhand if it was about, I think it was about homosexuality. And the person went and protested to the school board. And the school board wrote him a letter. And they said that, you know, because of this incident, you can no longer have services at our school system. My first response reading that portion was anger. How could they do that? They've been there for years supporting the school system. And then I read the letter that the pastor wrote to the school board. And he said, we just want to thank you very much for you opening up your school system and allowing us to have our services here for years. We've been blessed. And we are going to continue to support the school system. And if you need us to do anything, please let us know. That's the love of God. That is a prime example of what we are to do, to destroy the enemy with the love of God. What an example.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.